Don't change that dial. WGBB 1240 on your dial. It's time for...
Listen up. Jesus is on the air. Did you like that? Didn't I do that perfectly?
You're getting better and better every week, Dr. Palmer.
I told Trevor before the show, I don't mind talking over Al Solin. I can't stand it anymore. I've been listening to it every week. It's driving me crazy. Excuse me.
And that crazy guy is Dr. Palmer, and I'm Dr. Anthony Chiffo. And welcome, welcome,
sorry,
welcome.
Al. I love you, Al, but we're going to get a new song. I mean, no. We're not going to get a new song.
Sorry, Al. I love that guy.
It's always nice to start off with a bang, isn't it? Why are they walking towards us, Tony? What?
I don't know,
what's
but
going
I hope,
on here?
I hope I still have a friend in Al. I love you, Al.
Listen, if I keep on playing this song, I'm going to join Trevor's church. Good morning, everybody. It's so nice to have you with us today again. And Tony, good morning to you.
Thank you, Dr. Palmer. Good morning to you.
And Father Larry Tucker is here, and Father...
We're so honored to have you, Father. We really
yes,
are.
We are. And we're in a silly mood, but that's the way it goes.
We're just two kids. We're two kids in love with Jesus.
Again, same thing every week, two kids.
But I
I'm
want
97
them to
know. And I'm a kid. Come on, give me a break, will you?
You're still a kid. Yeah, listen to you.
All right, let's get serious now. We have a very, very interesting, serious program, really serious. It's the prayer of Jesus crucified. And it's been written by Father Larry Tucker, and it's a book. And we're hoping that we'll make a CD out of this show and corner Father and have him read the book. The book takes 17 hours to read. Is that true, Father?
Well, a little less than that.
Okay.
In his time.
We don't mind being on 17 hours. Trevor, you've only been here 10 hours already. What's a few more?
But what Dr. Palmer's talking about is that we have an innovation. We're going to put the book on tape, and we're going to offer it to people in Father Larry's name.
In other words, we're backing you, Father Larry.
Thank you.
We're going to do the CD, and Tony's going to pay for all the CDs.
I thought you were paying, Dr. Palmer, but I'll pay. Be happy to.
But, you know, it's such a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful prayer. And first of all, let's be polite. Father Larry Tucker, introduce yourself.
Well, here I am. I'm Father Lawrence Tucker, the author of The Prayer of Jesus Crucified, and... I'm a member of the Society of Our Lady of the Most Holy Trinity, and I'm from Levittown, Long Island, but normally I would be working in Mexico.
Our Lady of Most Holy Trinity?
Yes.
I love that.
Mm-hmm.
How did that name come about? I'm sorry if I'm off the track a bit.
Well, our founder wanted to have a community where the Trinitarian life of God would be manifest in that all the vocations in the church would be working together as a family, the lay people, mm-hmm. the religious, and the clergy.
And I always look on the Trinity as unity in love. And I'd love to see that unity across all religions, too. Wouldn't that be something?
Oh, sure.
It's always good to dream.
Mm-hmm.
And Father, tell us a little bit about your book.
Well, the book is really a very simple introduction, a very simple methodology for entering into what we normally would call contemplative prayer, quiet prayer, wordless prayer. And this prayer came to me when I was a seminarian. I was studying in the seminary, and I had this great longing to be to have a greater intimacy with God. I felt that my spiritual life had reached a kind of a limit, and I didn't know how to go beyond. I didn't know how to go further into the mystery of God. There was no resource that I could find that was helping me in that direction. And I remember praying and asking the Lord, Lord, help me here. You know, I want to be, soon I'll be a priest, I'll be a missionary, I'll be a religious. I want to be holy in these vocations as you've called me to. Give me a prayer. Teach me a way where I can pray in quiet and come into a greater communion with God. And so over I would say maybe an academic year, little by little, the Lord, just through the Spirit, guided me to what I now see and call the prayer of Jesus crucified. And for 15 years, I prayed this prayer every day for at least an hour a day. Hmm. Never mentioned it to anybody because I didn't think it was for anyone else. I had prayed for it. It was, I thought, custom made for my persona. And so I just never mentioned it to anyone, but I was finding it so such a blessed prayer, so fruitful. But it was just maybe a year ago where I realized that maybe this prayer is for others, because people were coming to me as I worked here on Long Island with various prayer movements. People were coming to me and asking me, can I go further in prayer, Father? I feel like I'm at a dead end. And I really didn't know how to direct them, because normally you might, in order to direct someone into wordless prayer, there are some wonderful historic books, John of the Cross, Teresa of Avila, St. Bernard, etc. But they're very kind of hard to go through. And even when a person goes through them, they don't always come out of it with a simple methodology to enter into contemplative prayer. So I didn't know how to direct them. And I shared this with my own spiritual director, and he asked me, well, how do you pray? And I told him. He said, well, that's great. You should be sharing that. I said, really? You think so? He said, yes, I do. He said, here's what you should do. Write it out. Show it to your superior. Try to put it into words on paper and show it to your superior and see what he says. And so I did that. And my superior immediately loved it. And he had me the next day teaching it in our formation center and gave me permission to teach it anywhere I go. And he told me to publish it, which I did. And so that's really the origin of the prayer of Jesus crucified. And it's really so beautifully simple. I think in its own way, it's kind of breaking ground in the sense that never before, at least to my knowledge, has there been such a simple, approachable, accessible methodology for anybody to go into the depths of quiet prayer.
And Father, you know, one thing we were talking about before the show was the difference or the concerns that people have about contemplative prayer, because it leaves you open to anything, almost like higher power in 12 steps. But this, you focused on Jesus. I don't know if you care to talk to that just a little bit more.
Sure. That is, John, that is one of the, I think, beautiful developments in this particular prayer, is that it's profoundly Christocentric. It's rooted in Jesus crucified. And so the person senses that powerful basis for entering into really the mystery of God. As you pointed out, some of the recent attempts to bring quiet prayer to people have been kind of vague, kind of open-ended, and consequently, many people are not really comfortable with that. Whereas this has a character, it has a clear identity, and a sense of security, and really it's going back to the heart of the tradition. The earliest tradition of contemplative prayer was rooted in Jesus crucified. And you'll notice many of the great saints, even just the images that we have of them, they're holding a crucifix. And so there's something very basic, very essential that's incorporated in this prayer that makes people very comfortable and makes the prayer very effective.
So this prayer is meant for everyone, not just for priests or deacons or saints, but it's meant for the lowest of the low. It's meant for
me.
And Palmer. And so how can, through this prayer, how can we make a difference between this type of prayer and a prayer that's a verbal prayer out loud? Mm-hmm. Where do you find the difference between these two prayers? I think I know my, because I've had an experience, but I'd like to know yours, Father.
Yeah, no, that's very good. It's a great question. Usually, most people who pray, and that's a big question today, do you even pray? You know, prayer is essential, but how many people in this materialistic, hedonistic society even stop to pray? So it starts with prayer, but most people pray using words. And then after a while, they might pray using images, which is what we call meditation. You'd be meditating on an image, maybe from scripture or whatever. But then there's a type of prayer which has been in the church since Jesus and Mary. Jesus and Mary prayed without using words. There's a type of prayer that goes beyond words and images. And so you would say, gee, that's kind of mysterious, isn't it? No words, no images. Yes, it is. But love is mysterious.
And it's from the heart.
And it's from the heart. It's from within. It's from you and the Spirit in communion, seeking and thirsting after the living God, to have a communion that goes beyond words. Now, not everyone senses this desire, although it's deep within every person, but this prayer is a wordless prayer. It goes beyond words, it goes beyond images, and it goes directly into communion with God. So whereas other prayers, let's take the Divine Mercy Chaplet, whatever, they're prayers that nurture the relationship with God. A wordless contemplative prayer moves right into the mystery of union with God. It's a direct prayer that nurtures oneness with God. So it's something new for many people. They're not used to like a direct approach to the mystery of God, to a prayer that doesn't produce, let's say, certain feelings. This type of a prayer would leave one. So many times when people pray it, they'll say, gee, I really didn't get anything out of that. I didn't feel anything. And I say, well, that's perfect. That's what this prayer is. You're doing it right, because they really think they're doing it wrong because they didn't feel anything. I said, no, that's actually proof you're doing it right. It's perfect.
Father, this is very exciting, and I can't wait until you share it with our audience. But I'll leave that up to Dr. Palmer to decide, because, you know, he's the executive producer.
Okay.
But, you know, Father, too, you're really giving credibility to my prayer life, because I go and before the Blessed Sacrament, and I pray, but I listen. And I hear, and I write what I hear, and, you know, is it God? Well, you know, but you get in touch with the kingdom of God that dwells in us, and you can now open that door, and it becomes the most exciting event that can happen in your day. I like to, you know, they talk about alcoholics, and I'm talking to a person who's not an alcoholic, and they would say, just think, when you get up in the morning, that's as good as you're going to feel all day, you know. But here, when I get into prayer time in the morning, it really is as good as I'm going to feel all day, because God's there.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell us more about the prayer, Father?
Yes. The prayer is really very simple. It's so childlike, and that's where I would say the breakthrough is. Previously, you can find over the course of history, really, so many beautiful treatises on people's experience, saints' experience of wordless prayer, of their thoughts about it. But these books are 150 pages, 200 pages, 300 pages, 500 pages. This book is 28 pages, and you can read it in 10 or 15 minutes.
And it's large print for a guy my age. It's great.
It's all large print, all capitals. It's only on one side of the page. The Spirit led me to write really a children's book. Mm-hmm. This is basically a children's book. There is nothing in here that the humblest person. You know, I work in Mexico, Belize, Guatemala, and as I was writing the book, I felt the Spirit was guiding me to produce a book that could be read by the simplest campesino in Central America. And by the way, the book is also translated into Spanish. So it's really a child's book. It's a childlike treatment of a wonderful, wonderful tradition of our church that many people have not had access to because of the complexity which with it's been presented in the past. So that's where I think we're dealing with something very new, is that something very wonderful that people have not had access to, they now have access to it. So the book really just moves the person through a very simple method that can guide them into a very deep, wordless prayer state where they come into communion with God.
In your book, you say, the prayer of Jesus crucified is one way, a very simple way, of entering into the spiritual river of peace, joy, and love that flows out of the depths of the heart of Jesus. and you have the quote from John, I will give you living water. Mm-hmm. That's so beautiful, you know, because to me, Jesus, the Spirit, God the Father, they're divine persons. Mm-hmm. They're not books. And they want a heart-to-heart relationship, which I believe is what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm. But even to go further, Dr. Palmer, I think the sentence that centered most with me was that it was a simple, childlike prayer. And Jesus just loves when you become childlike. Mm-hmm. And that's what he's there for.
You sure you're not reading the book? Because the book says the prayer is so simple that at first glance it might seem that it is only suitable for children. And yet, did not our Master say that unless we become like children, we would not enter the kingdom?
John, I must confess, I did not read the book.
Get out. You're finished. Get out of here. I don't want you. You cannot say another word for the rest of the show. Go sit in the corner.
But I brought two of them.
I know.
I have two books.
He gave me one, but go in the corner.
And I gave one to Palmer, you know.
You know, Father, I'd like to just, for a few moments, let people gather that in, that we're talking about a simple way of communicating with Jesus who's alive within us. And that works for all Catholics, small c, all religions. We want to be in touch with Jesus. And we want to make sure that those who are listening know that as you explain it today, we're going to take you through that. Mm-hmm. And I think to set the stage for it, and this will bother my friend George, but to set the stage for it, Trevor, I'd like to play that song, Come Into My Heart. It'll take a few minutes because I want our listeners to get settled. Sit down. Be quiet. Start to open yourself to the presence of God.
Submitted to the Lord. Cleanse me of my sin, Lord.
Hey, call that.
Send His Spirit now upon us. Holy Spirit, come.
Father, we're going to be quiet, and we're going to ask you to lead us through the method. And Trevor, just play the next cut, and you may have to play it a couple of times. Okay, Father?
Okay. I'm going to just read the one little paragraph from page 7 on the book, where it describes the actual physical methodology. In the prayer of Jesus crucified, we lift up the crucifix, kiss it, and hold it against our chest, right over our heart, in such a way that His heart, pierced through with love, is directly facing our own heart. By holding the crucifix in this position, the heart-to-heart conversation we long to have with Jesus begins as we embrace the mystery of crucified love. Jesus, made one with us, by being nailed to a cross. And so as you begin the prayer, you do exactly that. You just take the crucifix, kiss it, hold it against your heart. And as you're doing this, you want...
Father, I promise not to interrupt, but I have a relic of the true cross, and I'm going to hold it for our listeners up against the microphone so Jesus' heart is coming out over the airwaves.
Beautiful, beautiful. The true cross, saturated with the blood of Jesus, probably little pieces of His flesh perhaps in it, is up against the microphone for the listeners. As the prayer begins, you want to have the proper disposition, and this is on page 9 of the book. You want to remember, God lives within you, and all He does as He dwells within you is He loves you. That's all He does. That is your Father's greatest desire. In this prayer, you go to your Father's heart. See, the prayer is not really about you. This is where contemplative prayer goes in a different direction. It goes into a higher realm, as it were, because now you're looking at your Father's heart, and you're looking into His heart, and you're seeing that what He wants to do is to love you. That's the greatest desire in your Father's heart. And so now in this prayer, as you hold Jesus to your own heart, you allow your Father to fulfill the greatest desire that He has in His eternal heart. He's loving you now. And you just dwell in His love. You allow Him to fulfill His heart's desire in you, which is why He sent His Son Jesus, and why Jesus was crucified, so that the Father's love, His eternal love, could be poured out in you. Now you allow that to happen. You bask in your Father's love. You rest in your Father's love, being mediated by our Lord Jesus crucified. As you rest in His love, you will receive many beautiful, mysterious blessings of love. These blessings of love do not necessarily imply feelings. This is not a prayer that is focused necessarily on feelings, although you might have some. It's a prayer that's focused on the unfathomable love of God. You're just present before Him on His terms. And so you allow Him to bless you any way that He chooses to. Okay, any way that He wants to bless you. He can bless you. The idea is that you're present to him. You're with him, and he's with you. And you allow that mystery to unfold within you on your Father's terms. In other words, if you're not sensing something, that's good, because God is pure spirit. You're moving in another direction now. You're in another way of prayer where the terms are going to be set by your Father. And the terms have to do with the mystery of eternal love. Okay, so the prayer is almost like being crucified with Jesus, in the sense that you're enveloped in his love and you're not going anywhere. You're still. You're just there. You're just present to God. It's like being on the cross. There's nowhere to go. There's nothing to do except to love. And so you're just present there, being loved by your Father. And this makes all the difference in the world, because this is what you were made for. This is why your Father created you. It all begins right there. Now, who did this? Do you remember the story of St. Francis? St. Francis, at one point in his life, had a vision where he saw Jesus crucified, and he went over to him and he embraced him. And when he came out of that vision, he had the stigmata. And he was transformed for the rest of his life, not just physically, but spiritually. The man was on fire with the mystery of God's eternal love for the rest of his life, from one embrace of Jesus crucified. In this prayer, you can embrace him daily. Okay? And so, when you come to this prayer, you want to have the right disposition, which is simply that you know that God lives within, and all he wants to do is love you, and all he does is love you. You also want to have the right attitude, which is that when you come to the prayer, you do not bring any expectations to the table, as it were. You leave that to your Father. That's where this prayer becomes so wondrous, so beautiful. You don't come to the prayer with petitions, with thanksgiving, with adoration, with praise. You come to the prayer for one reason: to be one with your Father through Jesus crucified. And does it happen? Yes, every time. Every time. There is no there's no way that this doesn't happen. It happens every single time. So what comes from the prayer? Well, I can guarantee you this much. You will come away from this prayer every time with tranquility and knowing that you are beloved of God. If that's not sufficient, I don't have anything else to say. But it's always been sufficient for me, and for St. Ignatius, who said, "Father, your love and your grace are enough for me." And so that's basically how we pray this prayer.
And it's so beautiful to just be at peace and one with Jesus. On the cross, yes. In your heart, yes. And the relic I had of the true cross is just something that was given to me many years ago. And praying with it over people for healing is such a beautiful experience, because God does come alive in this. Tony, you wanted to say something?
No, I just wanted to say that it was so beautiful. It was beyond expectations. It really was. And as you were talking, I got the feeling, I got a deep feeling within me that, yes, this is the way I'd like people to pray to me also. There are other ways to pray, but I like this way too. Mm-hmm. So it was beyond my expectations. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Very good, Tony. Thank you.
And you know, Father, sometimes people, when they get into this kind of mode, hear things, see things, experience things that they can't explain. I've had that, you've had that, I know Tony's had that, I know Trevor's had that in his prayer life. We've all had that, that somehow or other God is there. And you know, we don't have to run to a church to be to God, be in God's presence. He's in us. Mm-hmm. All you have to do is, like you said, this is can be a 5-minute experience if you want. Mm-hmm. Take time. Put a cross in your hand if you have it, and put it on your heart. If not, put your hand on your heart and open yourself to God. Mm-hmm. And he touches you. St. Teresa of Avila said, you know, you can never explain this to someone who hasn't experienced it. So when you give a guarantee,
of saying something will happen every time. It will if you get out of the way. Mm-hmm. It's a process of getting out of the way. You've been doing this how many years, Father?
At least 15 years.
You know? Yeah. And I've been going to adoration every morning at least 20 years or more. Mm-hmm. If not adoration, at least in church before the tabernacle. And sometimes just get quiet at home. And I, Tony, had that experience on the water where he saw a monstrance in the sky. Now, it took a lot of courage for Tony to share that on the radio. Same as it takes courage for me to explain my stuff on the radio. And you, Father, mm-hmm. for stepping forward. But I love what you said. This goes back to the basics of our religion.
Yeah, well, see, this is where somehow or other it became a prayer mode or a way of prayer that the average person did not think they were candidates for this. Mm-hmm. Their hearts may have been desiring a deeper prayer life, going beyond words, and yet the spiritual culture was such that there was really not an invitation to move into this. It was sort of for those people over there, yeah. Those ones in the monastery or in the cloister. It was for them. And so people just stayed away from it because they felt that it was turf that they were not invited to enter into. And yet, after Vatican Council II, what did the Universal Church say? Mm-hmm. Everyone is called to holiness,
yeah.
The universal call to holiness. And so with that call, all the doors are open now. Everything is for everyone. Quiet prayers for everyone.
Yeah. And, in my job, my volunteer job at the diocese, I'm in touch with a lot of the different kinds of prayer groups in the diocese. And the charismatic prayer groups, they raise their hand and they praise and they sing, and it's wonderful. And that's step one. But I don't recall who said it in writing. I'm blocking on the name. But basically, unless you go beyond that basic step of experiencing the joy and the praising God, and unless you go to the next step of becoming quiet, you're not going to get the full loaf. You get half a loaf.
Mm-hmm.
And St. Teresa of Avila says there are two kinds of prayer. There's the verbal prayer, and that's fine. But there's a mental prayer, which you're describing. And that's the fullness of prayer life. When you open yourself to really, truly act on what you believe, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, dwell in me, dwell in you, Father, dwell in Trevor, mm-hmm. and Tony, and all our listeners. He's there. Mm-hmm. And unless you become still, I tell people, become like an airhead. Unless you become like an airhead, I like my women that way too. No, unless you become an airhead.
That was Dr. Palmer, by the way.
But no, unless you become an airhead in love, you're never going to know the mystery of his love in you, and you'll never understand it.
Mm-hmm.
And he'll talk to each person according to their personality.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've experienced this. And also, he changes with our moods. Mm-hmm. There are days we're up. Well, he's up. Maybe he tones me down a bit. You know, slow down, buddy. And there are days when I'm down. Oh, come on, get up and move your fanny and do something. It's like having, when you're a little kid, an imaginary friend who's always walking with you. And you have that simple heart of a child. And Trevor, that's that next song. John Michael Talbot, Simple Hearts. We're talking to your simple hearts, listeners. Listen to John Michael Talbot.
That was beautiful, John. My friend Ron called me before the show and said, make sure that John Palmer gets a chance to talk.
Our Lord protects the simple heart. I was helpless, so he saved me. The Lord protects the simple. How gracious is the Lord. The Lord protects the simple hearts. I was helpless, so he saved. death with the anguish of the tomb. They called me sorrow and distress. I called on the name of the Lord. The Lord protect the simple heart. I was helpless, so He saved me. The Lord protect the simple heart. Is the Lord. Turn back my soul now to your rest, for the Lord has been good. He has kept my soul from death and my eyes from sorrow's tears. The Lord protect the simple heart. I was helpless, so He saved me. The Lord protect the simple heart. How gracious the Lord. I love the Lord, for He has heard my cry. The Lord protect the simple heart. How gracious the Lord. The Lord protect the simple heart. I was helpless, so He saved me. The Lord protect the simple heart. How gracious the Lord. How gracious is the Lord.
And I hate to end a beautiful prayer like that, a song like that, by saying something so silly, but we know God protects the simple heart, and I hope He protects my simple mind, you know, because I get into an awful lot of trouble with that.
No, He loves you dearly.
We're going to do our Saints Alive, Trevor. Just put the next one on, right?
And keep it low, Trevor.
It's low.
This selection of this week's Saints Alive is really a no-brainer, because when I reviewed the possibilities of the saints, and it just came to me, St. Lawrence.
Oh.
And why St. Lawrence?
But look at his halo.
And why St. Lawrence? And then I got the thought, it's got to be St. Lawrence, because it's got to be an honor and tribute to our guest, who has a profound love for the poor, a profound love for the crucifixion. There's no other choice but St. Lawrence. And it's in your honor.
Thank you.
And I don't know if that came from me, but it came into my head from somehow. And so St. Lawrence was in the year, around the year of 258, and he had a deep love for the Pope, Pope Sextus, I believe it was. And he was so sad that the Pope was going to be put to death, and that there was nothing he knew in his heart. There was nothing he can do to save him. And he admired him so and served him. Lawrence was one of the deacons of the church, and he was in charge of the church's money and the treasures of the church. So the year was 258, and the emperor tried to make Pope Sextus, he arrested him and tried to make him give up his oath to the church, to Jesus, and to just bow down to the Roman gods, and he refused. And so the emperor committed him for execution. And Lawrence followed the path, and he was noisily demanding to know why the Pope was being murdered and his deacon left alive. Why am I living and my Pope being murdered? But Pope Sextus warned Lawrence that he would be put to death also in 3 days' time. So on hearing this, Lawrence gave away everything he owned, everything that the church owned, gave it away. And you know who he gave it to? The poor, the lowly, the sick. And then when he was brought before the emperor said to him, I want the treasures of the church. You're in charge. Get them to me. So St. Lawrence thought a few moments, and he says, tell you what, give me 3 days, and I'll bring them to you. 3 days passed. St. Lawrence went before the emperor, and behind him were the lonely, the poor, the sick, the infirmed, every one of God's, Jesus' children that Jesus is watching out for, and says to the emperor, I've brought you the church's treasures. Look beyond me. These are the church's treasures. The lonely, the poor, the sick. These are the treasures I'm bringing to you. The emperor was furious. Oh, so furious. He says, and I got something for you. Like the gridirons. And the gridirons was a rotary. And so he demanded that St. Lawrence be put to death. He be put to death on a rotisserie. It's just so painful. And so it was painful. But during that time, he was praying. He was praying for forgiveness of the emperor and forgiveness of those people that are doing to him and forgiveness to people that have sinned. And just praying. And then legend has it that with his gesture, he says to the people that were turning the rotisserie, hey, it's time to turn me over. I'm well done on this side. And that was his answer to the torture that he was getting. And so he died. And he died a martyr's death. But he died with love in his heart for Jesus, love in his heart for the poor, love in his heart for everyone. And he died forgiving those that did this horrible thing to him. And you know what? Tomorrow's readings in the gospel, Jesus says, when his disciples asked him, how should I forgive my brothers? 7 times. And Jesus says, no, you must forgive those that harm you 7 times, 7 times, which in the Bible means you must forgive them for everything, not just that one thing. And so, but there's one thing that people don't know about St. Lawrence. And I found this out in the book that Dr. Palmer gave me, that St. Lawrence's blood would liquefy for 8 days in August. His feast day is August the 10th. And for 8 days, his blood would liquefy. I'm not sure if it's still happening today, but that's what happened in the year of 258. So that's my little story about St. Lawrence and my tribute to you, Father Larry. I admire you dearly, and I love you dearly. Thank you. Thank you for being on the show.
And what a perfect choice, because you're talking about God's treasure. And isn't that what you've been talking about, Father?
Yeah.
Going deeply inside.
And isn't that his mission? aren't you in Mexico working with the poor?
Yes.
And working with the lonely and working with the... This was...
Father, how can we help you promote this prayer?
Well,
what's your website?
My website is...
Your email.
The email, I should say, is tucker.frlar@gmail.com. And this book, The Prayer of Jesus Crucified, is you can purchase it at Amazon.com. And they'll deliver it. It's fulfilled by Amazon. So it'll be delivered to your house within 2 days if you want to get a hold of the book and start to pray the prayer.
And if they put the name of the book, The Prayer of Jesus Crucified, into
yes.
Amazon on their books,
right.
Be careful, that might fall.
Okay.
You can just put Father Larry Tucker,
yes.
and he'll pop up like that.
Yeah, right. And if you want it in Spanish, if there's anyone listening Spanish,
why don't you tell him in Spanish?
Si está escuchándome en español, puede comprar el libro en Amazon.com. Con usar el nombre del autor, el padre Lorenzo Eduardo Tucker, o puede usar el nombre del librito, que es esta, la oración de Jesús crucificado.
Wow. And can I add that if you're really having trouble getting the book, email us. Email us at listenup1240@aol.com. We'll get you the book, we'll mail it to you, and Palm will pay.
Okay. And Father, I assume that if anyone wants you to come to their parish or to their prayer group or whatever to teach that prayer, you'll come.
Yes, John, I do workshops on the prayer. They're very beautiful. I've done more or less about 20 so far here and on the border of Mexico. And every workshop is just so beautiful. The people are so open and so rejoiced with this prayer. And there's no fee for the workshop. I just ask that everyone who attends would purchase the book so that we can do the workshop. We need the book for that, and then they'll have the book.
That's wonderful.
And Trevor, can we go back to cut two? And because we want people not to lose the taste of being one in love with Jesus in his heart. And then we'll do our prayer for healing.
Come into into my life, Lord. Of our life that we're not proud of, that we know still aren't submitted to the Lord. Cleanse me of my sin, Lord. stand in the presence of the Lord as we sing, "Take all that I am, Lord." Let's open up our hearts and our hands to the Lord. Spirit now upon us, Holy Spirit, come.
Particular, I pray for Liz again with the Chiari disease. Liz, I hope you're sitting there with the brace off your neck.
And don't forget, she's our poster child.
I know she's our poster child. And Liz, make sure, though, you don't overdo it.
We love you, Liz.
And you take care. And Scott, you behave yourself, and both of you have a wonderful, wonderful weekend. Tony, we have others that have sent in petitions,
yes, and
we're just going to put our hands on them now, and we pray for them, and we ask you, Lord, come into all of these petitions here. We know that the whole show has been a healing, because you're here. You're here in each of our listeners' hearts.
And we have some new petitions. We have people that have just been diagnosed with cancer, diagnosed with Alzheimer's disease, diagnosed with depression, and Jesus, we're asking that you heal them, you give them strength, you show them that you are our Lord, our Savior, and you love them, and we give you thanks for all the healings that you gave to our petitions, and Marita, and we love you so much, and Teresa, we love you so much, and Baby David, who was cured, and prospects look pretty good, and the one that you saved from suicide, and there's so many, we give you thanks and praise, Jesus. We love you.
And we thank you, Lord. And with this, Father, we thank you for being here. And Trevor, we go to the last song, number 6, and it's going back to the heart of Jesus. And this Monday night, I'll be at St. Mary's in Manhasset.
It's Tuesday night.
St. Mary's in Manhasset doing a night on listening to God, believe it or not. Next Saturday,
I'll be at the New Hyde Park Street Fair. Want to come and say hello? Come and say hello.
Thank you again, Father.
Thank you, Father.
You're welcome.
face, and all is stripped away. Am I simply gone? Long just to breathe something that's of worth, that will bless your heart. I'll bring you my